Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Laurus Labs 2Q FY26 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Laurus Labs Q2 FY26 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. On the call today, we have representing Laurus Labs management, Dr. Satyanarayana Chava, Founder and CEO, Mr. V.V. Ravi Kumar, Executive Director, Mr. Krishna Chaitanya Chava, ED Head CDMO, Mrs. Soumya Chava, ED Generics and Commercial, and Mr. Vivek Kumar, AVP Investor Relations. Before we proceed, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made during the call today could be forward-looking in nature, and a safe harbor statement to this effect has been included in the press release that has been shared on the company's website. I now hand over the call to Dr. Chava to make the opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for questions. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Nitin, for the introduction. Good afternoon to all our stakeholders. We continue to make encouraging progress in delivering important clinical and commercial programs of our customers and also strengthening our pipeline through collaborations with several big pharma. Our growth is increasingly benefiting from our leadership position in antiretroviral business as well as CDMO expansion. And at the same time, we're investing in enabling capabilities and capacities to meet growing customer demand. I have increasing confidence that our R&D-driven commercial strategy will continue to generate long-term value for all our stakeholders. Moving to some notable updates, early this quarter, we received allotment of 532 acres from the Government of Andhra Pradesh in Vizag, and our focus is to create a world-class pharmaceutical manufacturing complex where we propose to invest around $600 million over 8 years. As you're aware, that over the past few years, Laurus has built significant capacities to service diverse pipeline opportunities. This new land will materially support further strengthening our global position and offering across manufacturing scale and new technologies. Additionally, during the quarter, we invested in an ADC technology platform company with payload and site-specific linker technologies that will enhance Laurus' integrated ADC services. Also, most of the capacity arose in specialized modalities, including gene therapy, ADC, fermentation, is broadly on track in line with our customer needs. Moving to our financial business, our Q2 performance was in line with our expectations, with revenues of 653 crores, reflecting robust demand for our ARVs and CDMO revenue growth. Gross margins expanded further from the previous quarters and maintained well above 59% range, and EBITDA margins were expanded by 11 percentage points to 26%, moving better operating leverage and product as well as segment mix. As we look forward, we remain confident in our outlook for the improved growth for the rest of the year. I would request Mr. Krishna Chaitanya to share key updates on our CDMO business.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Satya. From a CDMO perspective, the division continues to see strong demand momentum in our CDMO service offerings, recording the Q2 sales of rupees 471 crores, and for the H1, the division recorded a sale of rupees 964 crores with a healthy growth of about 88%. This growth was mainly driven by several mid to late phase program deliveries and as well as commercial deliveries, and also increased sales from our new manufacturing assets that have come online. The pipeline momentum and RFPs flow has remained strong with a well-balanced mix of big pharma clients, small to mid-size biotechs. In specific, we are adding multiple clinical programs of late that involve quite a lot of complex chemistries and advanced modalities. In line with that, we continue to invest on expanding our commercial capacities at our Vizag site and also expanding some of our capabilities for some of these advanced modalities and therapies, which we will disclose as they mature. Thank you.
Large molecule CDMO, Laurus Bio, we reported a healthy recovery in Q2 with sales of 47 crores. I would like to emphasize that majority of sales seen in Q2 are accruing from customer base with long-term potential and improvement in commercial product sales. We are seeing increased customer interest for dedicated fermentation lines. Construction work for the commercial scale fermentation facility in Vizag is as progressing as planned, and we expect phase one capacity of about 400 kiloliters to be handy by end of 2026. I will request Ms. Samia Chava to share key updates on our generic business.
Hi, good evening. The revenues for the generic division continued to do well and reported a growth of 28% to rupees 1135 crores, which was mainly supported by the volume growth in ARV and also the formulation supplies. For first half, we've achieved 2,183 crore rupees sales with a growth of about 20%. The U.S. generics continue to benefit from our recently launched products and also stability from the rest of the product line. We expect that these benefits would continue in the future quarters as well. At the beginning of the year, we stated that our focus would be to address API rebalancing capacities. And now we are glad to report that we've completed the activity and we've achieved the capacity debottling within the key API businesses, especially the ARVs. And we're also happy to report that we're meeting our delivery commitments to the customers. To further add, our CMO activity levels are also going up and we see good visibility on improving utilization levels for the rest of the year. On the filing side, we currently cumulatively have 91 DMFs till date, and our finished dosage forms, we filed 3 dossiers and received 4 approvals in the first half of the year. With this, cumulatively, we have about 90 products filed till date. Thank you.
Thanks, Krishna and Soumya, for overview of generics and CDMO business. On the R&D front, we spent 4.3% of our sales, including a spend on cell and gene therapy. The spend is in line with our full year target, and we continue to invest in portfolio, focusing on product complexity and scale, while also pushing forward with adoption of sustainable technology platforms. Let me share brief on our quality side. In the first half of this year, company underwent close to 65 quality audits by multiple customers and several regulatory agencies. Company has successfully passed these audit inspections without any critical findings. Now I request Mr. Ravi Kumar to share overall financial highlights.
Thank you, Dr. Satya, and very warm welcome to everyone on our second quarter and H1 earning call. Total income from operations for H1 at 3,223 crore registered a growth of 33%. We have continued to deliver strong growth mainly due to ARV business, sustained CDMO momentum, and growth in other generic business. For the Q2, total income from operations was 1653 crore with a 35% growth. Gross margin in the range of 60% for the Q2 and the H1, mainly due to better product mix and the division mix, apart from process improvement efforts. EBITDA for H1 stands at 818 crore with an EBITDA margin of 25.4%, whereas for the quarter 2, 429 crores with a margin of 26%. Profit after tax at 358 crores and for a quarter 2 at 195 crore. ROCE was 16.3, improved from 9.7 in the last previous year and has been progressively improving. However, it is compressed due to continued capex investment towards growth projects. On the capex front, we invested 224 crores for the quarter and 489 crores for the H1 FY25. Our net debt stood at 2,100 crore and debt to EBITDA is around 1.3x versus 1.8 in the previous quarter. On the capital allocation front, our strategy remains unchanged and we will continue to prioritize investment into high-value business segments to drive near and long-term growth and return our shareholders over a time. You can refer our IR presentation for more details. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then one. Our first question comes from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, on the gross margin front, where the proportion of synthesis business has reduced quarter on quarter, while API and the FDF, which is largely ARV, has increased. And despite that, we are seeing reasonably good improvement in the gross margin. So if you could just elaborate on that aspect first.
Tushar, if we look at our first quarter FY26, we reported the gross margins of 59.4%. And this quarter, we are reporting 59.9%, almost 60%. The CDMO revenues were almost similar, both small molecule and large molecule put together. Some growth came in ARV, APS and formulations. But we have delivered more commercial molecules in CDMO during the current quarter, so margin profile was better. So gross margins improved because of that.
Understood. And sir, on the ARV side, just if you could give the breakdown of ARV, API and ARV formulation sales for the quarter?
We have done 733 crores ARV, both APS and formulation put together in this one. When you compare the last quarter, we have done about 647 crores ARV sales, both to API and FDF. About 90 crores more sales we have done in this quarter.
Hey, a breakdown into API and formulation, ARV, API and formulation.
Tushar, the API was 395 crore, Tushar.
Okay.
Okay. So you can balance it out for formulation.
Oh. Sir, just on the ARV part, like for the first half, we are almost 1380 crores. And at the start of the year, the commentary was that ARV business would be largely stable for FY26 at least. And in FY25, we had done 2300 crores ARV sales and we have already done 1400. So does it mean that will we see some decline in ARV sales for the remaining two quarters of FY26, or we have got enough orders to sustain the first half performance of FY26 in the ARV segment?
I will maintain my commentary. Our ARV sales will be around 2500, give or take couple of 100 crores. So you can't have a dot on 2500 crores every year. As I mentioned, 2500 crores plus or minus 200 crores. The values differ based on the tender results, awards and then our supplies. I still continue to maintain the same statement, 2500 plus or minus couple of 100 crores.
And just one more, lastly from my side, if you could just broadly help us understand the working capital cycle for synthesis business and FDF business, if there is any key difference.
Typically, the working capital cycle for formulation and synthesis business are longer. in CDMO, we are handling very long, complex synthesis. Because of that, working capital cycles are higher, but margins are higher, so that will have any impact on the working capital margins. And, but formulations will have a long working capital cycle.
Yeah, it's like depend on the product also.
Yeah.
So broadly, current portfolio, broadly, what would be the working capital cycle for synthesis business and for FTF business separately? Just a ballpark number.
It is very difficult, Tushar. Okay.
We can take it offline, Tushar. We can't give the details.
Sure. All right. That's it, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bharat from Quest for Value. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Firstly, I would like to congratulate Dr. Satya and Raviji for delivering good set of numbers. And also, I would like to specially congratulate Krishna Ketan and Sonia Garu for delivering CDMO and generic numbers consistently from past few quarters. And my first question is to Dr. Chava. So if you look our history, we generally put huge capex and we go through short-term pain due to operating deleverage for some period. And once capacities are fully utilized, operating leverage will play out. For example, in last cycle, we have put a huge capex in 2019 for FDF. And once it is fully utilized, we reached a peak margin, EBITDA margin of around 33%. Yeah, and if you see the current cycle, we have invested a lot of capex in the last 4 years. And finally, looks like the capacities are being utilized and operating leverage is now playing out. And if you compare last cycle with the current cycle, the last cycle was mainly due to, the growth was mainly due to generic FDF. This time the growth is coming due to high margin and more sustainable CDMO. So my question is, do you think in this current cycle, once the capacities are fully utilized, the EBITDA margins can easily surpass the previous last cycle peak of 30% because of better product mix and better gross margins?
I would say, Bharat, it will improve. I will not give a number. As we change our product mix more towards small and large market CDMO, EBITDA percentage will improve. And also operating leverage will also kick in as we utilize our assets better. That's what happened in Q1. That's what happened more in Q2. And we continue to see that trend. I will not comment to what extent will grow, but the indications are that we will continue to do better in EBITDA margins.
Okay. Thank you. That helps, yeah. And my second question is to Krishna Chaitanya. Are you seeing a trend of supply chains shifting towards India due to this BioSecure Act and also due to the supply chain diversification efforts from innovators? Did you see any significant increase in RFPs due to this? And how is Laurus prepared to capture this wave of opportunity that is coming to India?
Certainly, there's some discussions around that and the discussion or talk around that, but it's getting immediately translated or attributing the flow of RFPs to you know, any of these world events is very difficult to you know, link both of these together. But I think at the end of the day, successfully getting an RFP and delivering on it comes down to the capabilities rather than compulsion for somebody to diversify the supply chain. But there's certainly discussion around that, but not immediately can fully draw correlation between the two, at least from our perspective here.
Okay, yeah, thank you. And my last question is to Dr. Chava. Can you please give update on the bio artery plant at Mysore? I don't see that in the presentation.
We are constructing on a fast-track basis a large fermentation capacity at Vizag instead of investing that in Mysore. The reason is we have better infrastructure right now. It is an industrial complex. But at Mysore, the waste treatment facilities are not ready. So we decide to invest in Vizag ahead of Mysore.
It's close to our existing unit, Bharat.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. 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 That's just on my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Firstly, congratulations, sir, for very good set of number. Happy Diwali to you, Ravi, and all your team. My question, obviously, since last many quarter, I still keep asking the same question, so it is more on the formulation side. CDMO, obviously, I'm very happy with the performance and remain very bullish and optimistic. But on the formulation side, just wanted to understand the thought process that we had since many quarters and years is we want to be the global leader in 15 or more than 15 type of products or molecules. So are we still of the same opinion and the thought process, or we want to move towards more CMO, like contract manufacturing kind of thing on the formulation side?
Jeevan, both are happening. We are investing more in CMO for generic formulations. That with our European partner going well. And we are also doing select products, global launches, and our approach of doing few products and gaining leadership position globally is on track. We are not deviating from that principle.
But are you seeing results from that strategy?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. I think that's it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bino Pathiparampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just a couple of housekeeping questions from my side. One, what is the total CapEx for the current year that you are estimating?
It'll be closer to 1,000 crores. We invested about 480 crores in the H1, and we expect to invest similar amount in the H2 as well.
Understood. The receivable days and inventory days seem to have come down for the mid-year balance sheet compared to the March balance sheet and even compared to the earlier balance sheets. Has anything changed there materially?
Maybe I think additional sales has resulted in the reduction in inventory, Bino.
Okay. So is that a level we should look forward to, or is it temporary and for the year end we should go back to the levels of previous year end?
Yeah, I think it goes with the sales.
Okay. And what is the full year consolidated tax rate that we are looking at?
I think similar. Right now we have a 28%. At Laurus Labs we have converted into new regime. But other subsidiaries are going at a different, so that is the reason which is coming around 28. But I think it will be in the similar range.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sajal from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. At the same time, last year the CapEx run rate was 11% of sales, which was very healthy, of course. And today our sales have increased. They are significantly better YOY, but the percentage CapEx is not just 15%. It is now 15. It's not just 11%. It's 15% now. So both the sales and the CapEx have increased YOY. And question is, what's driving this level of conviction? What kind of interactions or the feedback are we getting from Big Pharma and other innovators, please?
We are investing into new modalities which are taking more capex. And we're also investing in fermentation. And we are also building some additional blocks in our animal health. So the building, qualification, validation are also taking very long time. It is not that we can, right now, if we start a construction of a manufacturing block, by the time we build, qualify and do validation, it is anywhere taking between 18 to 24 months. So that, because of that cycle, we are investing more. And we don't expect that investment around 1,000 crores will come down in the future years also. Probably may go up.
That's helpful, Dr. Satya. And my second question is, while our small molecule CDMO pipeline is well positioned to take us to the next level over the medium term, we will eventually need to demonstrate leadership in biologics and precision fermentation as well. So how do you see the competitive intensity in both human and non-human bio, non-food proteins and polymers evolving, and where do you think we have the sort of opportunity to differentiate ourselves given the current industry dynamics in these segments?
See, our current capacity in Bangalore is already sold out. And for us to grow, we need capacity. That is the reason we are doing on fast track basis additional capacity of 400 KL in Vizag. So, we, especially in bio, we know what to make, how much to make. So we are not at a stage where we are putting capacity and don't know what to do. Bio, at least we need capacity. So we continue to invest in bio more and more in the next 2-3 years.
That's for sure, Dr. Satya. My question was, I mean, between these segments, whether it's ADCs or gene viral vector, or whether it's non-food proteins and polymers, I mean, which area is looking more exciting to you as on today? Of course, this may change next year.
Okay. I didn't get your question, initial question very well. Now, I can answer. So, in the next 3 to 5 years, we are not expecting any revenues coming from cell and gene therapy, except our investment in ImmunoACT. Okay. That's one statement I can make. Second is, the CDMO of large molecule precision fermentation is very as attractive as small molecule CDMO.
That's helpful, Dr. Satya. Wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Venkat, who is an investor. Please go ahead. Venkat, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question. Venkat, if you have muted the line from your side, please unmute the line from your end and please proceed with your question.
I think we can go to the next question.
Certainly. As there is no response from the line of current participant, we'll move on to the next question. The next question comes from the line of Rahul Bhardwaj, who's again an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and wishing everyone a happy Diwali. I would like to get a sense of how do you see the fragmentation between the generics and the CDMO to evolve over the next 2 to 3 years? I think roughly as of now, we CDMO contributes around 30%. How high or low do you think CDMO will be contributing over the next 2 to 3 years, Dr. Satya?
Currently, both small and large molecule put together contributes about 30%. And we expect it will grow. Both small and large molecule CDMO prospects looking very bright.
Okay. Would it be possible to give like some idea where like how much growth do you expect? Like could it be 10%, 20% every year, or like in the sense
we're not giving quantitative.
Rahul, your voice is cracking. Like
no, we are not giving quantitative numbers of growth. But see, currently we have 200,000 liter fermentation capacity in Bangalore. We are adding 400,000 liters in Vizag, and that's in phase 1. We'll add another 500,000-600,000 liters in phase 2. So we keep on adding large capacity for our precision fermentation. In a small molecule, we continue to invest ahead of the requirement. So it is difficult to we have a visibility, but we don't want to confuse everyone by giving our visibility as a guidance. So we can say the growth looks interesting. That is the reason we are investing ahead of capacity.
Makes sense. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chandramouli R. from Techfin Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and season's greetings to every one of you. I'm glad about the performance of Laurus Labs this quarter. But what is concerning me as an investor is I make a comparison with other players. Like last quarter also I had a question about, let's say, the growth of DV's performance. So is my capital investment between the CDMO players and in the industry, I find relatively Laurus is not getting the return on investment quickly as others are. So why is there a delay in getting the orders from the innovators, or are we not investing in the capacities in where the demand is growing incrementally? So I would like some amount of clarity on this.
The modalities of CMO offerings have changed significantly, which demands very early and large amount of capex required. That's the one factor contributing. Investments are being done well in advance, whereas revenues are coming later. Another big change is you get a phase 3 molecule, you do validation and create a large capacity and wait for NDA submission and approval and all. So from late stage supplies to commercial supplies, there is a gap of almost 18 to 24 months. So during that period, your utilization will be very, very low. So if you look at our traction in CDMO, it is not 10 year old. We have significant traction happened in the last 3-4 years. So we are catching up with our investments and projects, commercial sales and all. So this will continue for a few more years and then we will be back on track with our return on capital to a good level. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Chava. That's all from my end.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that we are able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit yourselves to 2 questions per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj Shah from PGIM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I have just one question on CAPEX front. In last quarter, you had guided a CAPEX of 5,000 crores for 5 years. And in if I see your presentation, it's $600 million, which comes to around 5,000 crores again, but it's for 8 years. So are we reducing or extending the tenure of CAPEX in this? If you could help me out with those numbers.
So that $600 million CAPEX in the new 530-acre complex, that has nothing to do with the CAPEX in the existing land bank.
The total CAPEX remains the same, that is 5,000 crores at least for the next 5 years, it remains constant.
Yes, yeah, you are right.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I just want to clarify on the ARV formulations business. So if I look at 1H last year, if I have my numbers right, we had done about 350-400 odd crores of revenue. And this is about 600 crores plus in first half this year. I think sir maintained that we will be in the same band of 2500 crores plus or minus 200 crores. So this jump up is more in terms of the shipment timelines, or have we sort of doing more tenders outside of what we usually used to do? Like, what's happening here? Like, because the number is quite quite strong first half to first half. So just wanted to check what's happening there.
I would say 2 reasons contributing to that increase. Shift in supplies is one reason. The second reason, there is slight increase in demand.
Okay. The shift in supplies means the timing of the shipment?
Timing of the shipments. And there is a slight increase in the overall demand also.
Okay. And then this is in our existing market itself, like which we were servicing earlier, where there's been an increase in demand, or have we doing some newer markets?
Anything increasing demand for our existing customers, I'll put it that way. So more demand came from API rather than formulations.
Okay, okay. Because the ARV formulations is where it seems like there's been a big jump. So which is why I wanted to check. The API still seems quite stable year over year.
Dr. Satya indicated already 2,500 plus or minus 100 okay. to 200 crore. That was been indicated, and then we are in that statement. There's no change there. Probably as we are indicating, API and formulation may be interchangeable for a few quarters.
Sure, sure. Got it. Okay. And so the second question was on the newer modalities which we're investing in, like ADCs, for example. Could you just give some qualitative sense in terms of, you know, what kind of pipeline are we doing? Is it more early stage work, or do we have, you know, getting some late stage projects here? Just any qualitative sense will be helpful. And could you give a little bit more detail about this investment that we've done in a platform for ADCs? Some more detail there as well, please. Thank you.
In the ADCs, as a company, we already make payloads and linkers and supply for multiple programs to one big pharma. Because of that, we wanted to have capabilities to do bioconjugation, purification and fill finish. To gain that, we decided to invest in a company who is developing novel ADCs. So that partner will give us conjugation, purification and fill finish technology, and we will make their clinical programs. I think that much I can share right now. Yeah. There are multiple programs. They are about to file IND for one of the molecules. Once they file IND, they will do tech transfer and we will manufacture here.
And our investment is only $2 million.
We only invested $2 million, sir.
Okay, in this company. Okay, got it. Understood. And so the IND which they filed for the one molecule, like for this one, we plan to payload and linker, or we plan to do like the integrated ADC, like if you could share some
Integrated ADC.
Integrated ADC. Got it. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manoj Paheti from Carnelian. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Dr. Chava. Good evening, Ravi. First of all, congratulations on good set of numbers. A couple of questions. I just need some clarification on CapEx. See, earlier 5,000 crore CapEx was on our existing land bank. Now with this 532 acres of land which we got and where you put $600 million of investment over next 8 years, is it over and above our existing plan, or means total we should consider 5,400 crores or 5,500 crores over 8 years?
I think over 8 years you can consider maybe 8,000 crores.
So 8 years it will be 8,000 crores, right?
See, it is 8 years is too difficult to predict. So if the opportunity comes, we are prepared to invest more. We are not limited to this number. So current guesstimate is we need about $600 million in the new 530 acres. And current projects demand about 1,000 crores per year investment. If there is a massive project coming, we need more investment, we are happy to invest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is our understanding as of today. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And see, right now our CDMO run rate is almost 500 crores a quarter. I just wanted to get some color on what kind of capacity which we have, current capacity can take us up to what level of CDMO sales, some perspective on that. And also on this additional investment, can we consider at least 60 to 70% of this incremental investments will be towards CDMO?
The majority, I will leave at that stage. And see, our capacities initially, what we created, are fungible between generics and CDMO. Mm-hmm. So right now we are allocating certain capacities, but we are building, started building dedicated capacities for CDMO. Can't give you the capacity utilization of our CDMO assets.
I think what we have to do is, we have indicated before and even in the investor presentation, our fixed assets turnover ratio is around 0.9 today, and our average what we have achieved before is 1.1. I think that is the point to of fixed assets you need to bank on the growth what we can achieve in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. But Ravi, at this run rate of growth, will you be soon outgrowing your capacity? Whether your growth will be constrained by your capacity, that is one perspective I wanted to understand from you. Yeah.
No, we are adding capacities to meet our expected customer demands. Manoj, we are conscious of that. So yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking my question, and wish you good.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Praful Kumar from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead. Praful sir, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Sorry, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, many congratulations for your superb delivery, consistent delivery for the last many quarters now. We recently saw some figure observations from US FDA on the HHS plan. Does that add to more tailwinds for us on the ARV side, which is already delivering strong numbers?
Can you repeat the question? So there were US FDA observations on the AOV side.
Have you seen any incremental requests or inquiries on the AOV business in terms of products?
This is very recent. We haven't seen any disruptions as yet.
Okay. And secondly, sir, is there any, well, last question on margins, which has been already very strong. Is there a scope of as operating leverage kicks in, margins could, you know, incrementally get better in the next 12 to 24 months for us?
Yeah, obviously, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anubhav Sahu from Macro Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for this. Couple of questions. First, on the CDMO business for animal health and crop protection and markets. So, doctor, wanted to understand how is the commercial ramp-up of the facilities dedicated to this? And in Q2, is there any material contribution from these two end markets? And if you could also, provide some understanding what would be the capacity utilization of these facilities.
Krishna, would like to answer? The animal health and crop science.
Yeah, firstly, on the crop science side of things, there was not any significant material contribution from the crop science side of things. Of course, it needs some amount of time to go through the whole qualification filing activities for our partners, which we expect to ramp up in the coming quarters. But nonetheless, there was no significant contribution from the crop science side of things for this quarter. From an animal health side of things, one particular asset that we currently manage, we've started doing the commercial supplies itself. But the dedicated animal health site is still undergoing validations and filings, and as and when filings are successfully approved for our partner, we expect to start the supplies. But predominantly, validations are going on with one commercial asset that's being supplied already.
Okay, I mean, so largely for these two segments, the validation qualification stage is what we are in. And the CMO opportunity, if I recollect, for the animal health, that's already done with, right? And it's not, there's no contribution for that in this Q2, or is there?
It is there. From the animal side of things, it is there. But yeah, it is.
Crop sciences, no significant.
Almost nothing.
Okay, understood. And thanks. And my second question is on the positioning, or let's say, are we positioning for GLP-1 drugs opportunity in any way in the value chain? I know we have interest in peptides, but particularly GLP-1 drugs value chain, are we participating or do we plan to participate?
It's very early to comment on that, but as you mentioned, we have capabilities in that area.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ramesh Jain, an investor. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations, Dr. Chava, for the excellent set of numbers. My question is regarding CapEx, sir, how we are planning to finance? Either it will be by way of debt or by way of internal accruals. And my second question is regarding gross margin and the operating margin. Are these margins sustainably going into future?
We do both internally and then if needed, debt. That's how we are going. We are not thinking on any dilution on the CapEx funding side. The gross margin, Dr. Satya last time indicated 55 to 60% gross margin. I think we are...
If you look at 6-7 quarters earlier, we used to say gross margins will be in around 50%. Then we, when the business mix is changed, we said it will around 55. Now we are saying it is closer to 60. I think that's a good sign as the business matures, our clinical programs moving into commercial programs, we strengthen our leadership position in ARV and oncology. Things are looking better.
Right, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Varun Chaudhary from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My compliments on a great set of numbers, sir. So my question is, before I ask the question, I would like to get back into the past first. The thing is that 2 or 3 years back, that asset turn for the company was pretty high. It was close to around 1.5 and it went right down to around 0.7. Today, it is around 0.9. I'm just wanting to understand if you could give me some color on how the future on the asset turn looks like.
Our average asset turn was 1.1 for 5 years. That's what we are guiding, and 1.4 was the peak asset turn in 1 year. So first our aim is to reach 1.1. That's how we are progressing from 0.7 to 0.9. We already progressed. We are expecting to progress from 0.9 to 1.1 over a period of time.
Okay.
Still we are in a growth phase. So we continue to invest aggressively in CapEx, and we need at least 2 more years where our return ratios will improve closer to 25%.
Right. Thank you. That was question number one. The question number two was around the manpower and attrition, not related to the presentation, but otherwise important for any business. So the leverage on capital, human capital, there is a lot of competitive intensity, what I'm given to understand, around pharmaceutical companies, particularly based down south. How are you looking at the attrition and the well-being of employees at your organization?
Our attrition is in a lower range of teens. And we have a lot of novel things we have adopted over a period of time of inducting post-graduation in the fourth semester, etc., that we are managing. So we are also planning to have a skill development center to help other people, other industries, and also pharma and Vizag, then that will improve. So we say you are right, the skill is a challenge, recruitment is a challenge, but we are we never face the challenge, we are getting people.
Okay, thank you.
One point I would like to add is, in the last 5 consecutive years, we are recognized as a great place to work. So that also,
6 years
in a row, great place to work consecutively. That shows we are a good employer.
Right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Bharat from Quest for Value. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. My question is to Dr. Satya. So, sir, whenever we put huge greenfield capex, especially, we went through significant operating deleverage. So, for example, EBITDA margins fell to 14% around 2 years back. Of course, the gross margins were good, but the EBITDA margins fell to 14%. At that time, we were a small company doing huge capex. Hence, EBITDA margins were volatile and were significantly hit. But now we are transforming significantly into larger and more resilient company. And also the product mix is tilting more towards high margin CDMO. So my question is, do you think once this future greenfield capex of 5,000 crores comes online maybe in FY 28 or 29, will it again cause huge operating leverage and hit EBITDA margins like in the past and make EBITDA margins volatile like in the past? Or do you think we will become a significantly bigger and more resilient company, and then this greenfield capex of 1,000 crores per year should be easily absorbed by our numbers and should not impact EBITDA margins like in the past?
I'll answer. I think, Bharat, in the earlier cases, it's not the greenfield which has lowered the EBITDA. Actually, it is the new business areas wherein whenever we selected as greenfield, that causes the EBITDA lower. For example, when we started a formulation, we could able to hit EBITDA for at least 3 years, because it is a new area. One is investing in OPEX as well as some kind of an development expenditure. So I think we will, as your question has an answer, I think you will also have the size also can absorb this kind of 1,000 crore, which will be maybe 15% of our 10 to 15% of our overall asset investment, which can absorb. It will not have a significant impact.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Thanks, sir. You can understand.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vishal Daga, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Hey, congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. One, we recently got to know that there was, you know, a breakthrough in the HIV drug with a $40, you know, jab that can come for the, you know, developing nations. Does that impact Laurus in any way? It is going to get, I think, rolled out in 27. If it does, is there any way we are going to mitigate the impact?
See, the drug is for prevention, not for the treatment. So we don't expect any materialistic impact in the near to medium term because of the PrEP market.
Got it, sir. Just one more question on the Laurus Bio. We saw a good uptick this quarter. What would be a steady state run rate that, you know, you're targeting from an capacity expansion perspective for, say, 27 or 28?
New capacity will come online by end of 2026. That means next to 5-6 quarters, we don't see significant ramp up. Marginal growth will be there, but no significant ramp up in revenues will come until end of 2026.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Congrats once again. That's all from us.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a few more. How much investment we are doing in this facility for genes and ADC facility, which is expected to be completed by CY 26?
We are investing both OPEX and CAPEX for the next 3 years, about 250 crores.
Next 3 years?
Yeah.
And this is like, principally, this would be like, once we build the facility, we'll then sort of try to get the contract from the prospective customers.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And just one,
one thing I would like to share here, all the expenditure on CGT, on pre-operative expenses and R&D, everything is expensed. We are not capitalizing single rupee out of it.
Sure, sure. So how much of that would be like for first half, 26?
As I mentioned, next 3 years will be about 250 crores of CAPEX and OPEX.
And sir, on the animal health, the earlier commentary was that this, the site is undergoing validation for one commercial asset. So broadly, if this converts to a commercial success, then how much of the capacity will get utilized for this asset?
Sorry if I was not clear enough, Mr. Tushar, in the previous comment. There's multiple product validations that are ongoing in the animal health site, with one of them being commercially supplied as we speak, but there's multiple different projects or APIs that are being validated as we speak.
Understood, sir. And when this validation related business would also be coming, right, at this point of time within the animal health segment?
That's correct. As soon as the validations are complete, we'll be able to invoice, of course, the material and the service related to that. But significant amount of the revenues would actually come when the commercial supplies would start. But there will be certainly some addition from the supplies or the validation quantities itself.
Got you. And just to extend on this, so when, while you might not indicate current quantum of business from animal health segment, but considering the timeline for this validation, so when do we see meaningful pickup in the animal health segment? Broadly at a portfolio level?
We expect animal revenues to contribute meaningfully or continue to grow over the next financial year and going forward.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gaurav T. from Antique. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and festive greetings to the team. Just a couple of questions. So firstly, on the CDMO, Doctor, you mentioned that this quarter we saw higher contribution from commercial supplies. So do we expect this mix of commercial to clinical supplies to stay at Q2 levels for the rest of the year as well? Or do we expect clinical supplies to go up again in Q3 or Q4?
We're not giving a specific indication on what those numbers would look like. But at an overall year level, we expect to post a growth over the last year, certainly. But as you are aware, CDMO business tends to be lumpy in terms of how the revenues are come through. But nonetheless, we're seeing a good, healthy growth, when you look at year in totality.
But your observation is right. There will be more commercial, late stage and commercial supplies. That will continue. We are not giving a proportion of sales, but it will continue to be like that.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. Thank you for that direction. Couple of financial bookkeeping questions. So, we have seen higher other income this quarter. So would that be largely driven by Forex income this quarter?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And, we saw a lower, significant debt repayment in 1H of this year, and the finance costs were also lower in Q2. Given operational cash flows were significantly higher and should be higher in H2 as well, can we expect more debt repayments in the second half of next year, of this year as well?
No, we are not expecting that. We are not expecting that, but the interest cost reduction also helped through an interest rate come down.
Okay, okay. That's helpful. Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the rest.
Thank you. We have the last question coming from the line of Malhar Sanghvi from Bodhi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi sir, can you hear me?
Yeah, a lot of disturbance. Hey.
Is it better now?
Yeah, go ahead.
So congratulations firstly on a great set of results, and I wanted to know your views on the MFN policy, which means that the prices of drugs wanting to come down in the US, and what kind of effect will that have on the outsourcing by the global pharma companies?
No impact.
So there will not be a positive or negative impact at all to the companies itself. I'm not talking about us specifically. What will the outsourcing impact be in general?
It is difficult to predict. We can say about our revenues are not impacted by that.
Okay. So, and one more question. I'm sorry if I missed this, but this is the acquisition which you've done called Arvik Therapeutics. So what part of ADC manufacturing do they have expertise in?
They have expertise in both conjugation, payload, linker, conjugation, purification, and then pin finish. So they don't make maps. They outsource map manufacturing.
Right. Perfect. That's great. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I now turn the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all the stakeholders for interesting questions and your keen interest on Laurus Labs. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.